Yesterday, President Bush outlined four steps to increase domestic oil production, including lifting the ban on offshore drilling and permitting the exploration of oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
With these four steps, we will take pressure off gas prices over time by expanding the amount of American-made oil and gasoline. We will strengthen our national security by reducing our reliance on foreign oil. We will benefit American workers by keeping our nation competitive in the global economy and by creating good jobs in construction and engineering and refining maintenance and many other areas.
So, should the U.S. lift the ban on drilling for oil offshore the U.S. coastline or look for more oil in the Alaskan wilderness? We'll talk with a guest this hour who says, no way. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, June the 19th. We heard from a guest from the Cato Institute on Tuesday who supported the president's position. And today we will hear from someone who does not. David Moulton is the Director of Climate Change Policy and Conservation Funding for the Wilderness Society. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning. I'm having a hard time hearing you, David Moulton. Are you there? I can hear him way in the distance, as though maybe there's a telephone line problem. We'll try to make that establish that contact a little bit better. And let me give the numbers while we do that. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. We want to know where you stand on this issue or what questions you have. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Should the U.S. lift the ban on drilling for oil offshore or explore for more oil in ANWR? Is this an answer to high gas prices? David Moulton, did we reestablish contact with you?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Yes, and we can hear you this time. That's good.
Good.
So what's wrong with, first, this call to lift this moratorium offshore for offshore drilling?
Well, the president, several years ago in his State of the Union, got it right when he said we're addicted to oil and we need to move in a new direction. Our energy policy, a lot of people say we don't have an energy policy, but we really have had an energy policy based on cheap oil for many, many years. And but we could see trouble coming, and the president could see trouble coming, because we've become so dependent on oil that we've imported huge amounts of it, and that creates problems for us geopolitically with our national security. And we burn it in our cars when we drive around, and that emits greenhouse gases into the air, and that's become an enormous problem and a potential catastrophe for the planet. And so the time has come to move in a new direction, and this is what he was signaling when he said we're addicted to oil and have to get away from it.
Yeah. Can't we move in a new direction while still making some more oil here at home, meaning we don't have to import as much oil?
We can, but it's as a strategy for getting free of imported oil and for reducing the emissions of greenhouse gases. It's a bad strategy because you're working at the margins here. The United States has only 3% of the world's oil reserves, and yet we consume 25% of it daily in our cars and vehicles. And so while it seems at first a good idea to just go find more of it in the United States, even if you produce everything we know we have, it amounts to just a few years of consumption at the rates we're currently consuming oil. And so we've already, and of course the president being an oil man and taking office initially with the intention of doing exactly what he's saying he wants to do now, We've actually been through 8 years of very successfully, from the point of view of the president, opening up public lands to drilling. And we're drilling more than we've ever drilled before. In fact, there's more drilling rigs active in the United States than around the world. So we're drilling as hard as we can to find oil as hard as we can here, but there just isn't enough of it economically recoverable to actually change this dangerous dependence we have that leads us to send soldiers overseas to protect oil fields that belong to others. And it's going in the wrong direction with respect to the greenhouse gas problem. So we've got to move in a new direction. Everybody knows it.
We are talking to an opponent of the calls this week from both President Bush and presidential candidate John McCain to lift the moratorium on offshore oil drilling in the U.S. We wonder if you agree or disagree with this idea or what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is David Moulton from the Wilderness Society, and I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
We have proven oil reserves of at least 21 billion barrels in the United States. But a broad federal moratorium stands in the way of energy exploration and production. And I believe it is time for the federal government to lift these restrictions and to put our own reserves to use.
That's John McCain earlier this week speaking in favor of lifting the ban on drilling for oil off the U.S. coastline, a position that was echoed yesterday by President Bush. We're talking with a guest who doesn't think this is a good idea. We talked with a supporter on Tuesday of this week. David Moulton is the Director of Climate Change Policy for the Wilderness Society, and we also welcome your questions and your views on this issue at 1-800-642-1234. Our lines are full right now, but you can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. But before we go to the phones, David Moulton, what about what John McCain just said? He said, you know, he says that drilling offshore is needed to increase domestic oil production. What, 21 billion barrels? That sounds like quite a bit.
Well, the thing about the oil business is there's always oil underground, but it's not economic to get it out. And you go offshore, it's very expensive, and you take the risk of oil spills. The state of Florida, the state of California have had to answer the question whether the development of oil off their coasts makes sense for them. And generally, the people come down, and their government comes down on the side of protecting their pristine coasts, because one oil spill can completely destroy their tourist economy. And so you have to weigh these things. But the reason that John McCain, for many years, took the opposite position was because he realized that, you know, you're not going to get out of this trap we're in. We're in a hole by relying on oil. And the first law of holes is when you're in one, stop digging. It's just not going to be a productive long-term policy for the United States to continue to try to find very expensive oil in hard-to-find places or special areas that we have, for a variety of reasons, wanted to protect. And to put off the transition to a clean energy, low-carbon economy. We know we have to go in this direction, and we just keep putting it off and putting it off.
Yeah. Also, though, in his speech, John McCain said, it's really it's safe to do this. We're not going to have those oil-slicked beaches that you talked about. I think he referred to Katrina and said we didn't see anything like that happen, even with that hurricane.
Well, the hurricane itself was a disaster, of course. And if we continue to throw greenhouse gases up into the air at the rate we are right now, then we're going to have a climate problem that is going to make Katrina look like a small storm. So Katrina taught us many lessons, but one of them was not that we need to produce more oil.
Yeah, but the point being is that you say that that there's a risk of the oil, destroying
the beaches.
Well, the
oil fields that have occurred, yeah, they haven't been from storms. They've often been from oil gets into the water just from the standard operations of oil rigs. It's just a messy business. It's true on land and it's true offshore. When you have an accident, you have a tanker run aground, or you have a spill from a rig that explodes. It's not necessarily a storm, but it only takes one or two of these to have a devastating effect on a coastal economy.
We've been concentrating so far on the offshore oil drilling moratorium, but the president also called for more exploration in ANWR. And he said, in recent years, scientists have developed innovative techniques to reach ANWR's oil with virtually no impact on land or local wildlife. And he says, I urge members of Congress to allow this remote region to bring enormous benefits to the American people. What's your reaction to that?
Well, anyone who wants to see what producing oil in Alaska is like just needs to go to Prudhoe Bay. It is a vast, sprawling industrial complex that itself emits more greenhouse gases into the air than the city of Washington, D.C. every day. So it's the proposal is to expand that into an area that the United States set aside to protect one of the most pristine wildernesses left on this earth. It has this migratory caribou herd that is unique. They actually calve every year right in the area that the oil industry wants to start putting down oil rigs. So you have a collision here between the values of preserving a few special places on Earth forever for future generations and those that would like to exploit it now to get enough oil to last a few years to put in our SUVs.
Yeah.
And it's just a short-sighted and futile effort compared to moving towards a clean energy economy that solves both our greenhouse gas problem and our oil dependence problem at the same time.
Yeah, so you dispute the president when he says there would be virtually no impact on the land or local wildlife due to the new innovative techniques.
That's silly. He knows it. He's an oil man. There's no such thing as a pristine oil field. Okay. That's just not the way it works. And you have helicopter pads and oil pads and drill pads, and you have all kinds of transportation. And you have the pollution. Again, it's not as if we're trying to guess what would happen there. We know what will happen there because it's happening every day in Alaska.
Yeah, and he also says that this area that they want to explore or drill comprises less than 0.1% of ANWR's total land. So is it really compromising a pristine area?
It happens to be the most important area of the refuge for the last remaining migratory caribou herd in the United States of America.
To the phones we go. Tom in Suring has been waiting. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good.
How come these, you know, when they send these factories overseas and they go over to the Middle East and take their oil, they don't mind doing that and using it in their cars when they drive around. And if we need oil, God put it there. And I'm sure he knows what he's doing for us to use. He put the timber here for us to use, not to let it rot. So why not use it?
Why not use the oil that's here, David Moulton?
Well, we are using oil every day. The problem, as I said before, is we're digging a hole for ourselves, and it's just getting deeper. We are we depend for over two-thirds of our oil on imports. Now, people say, okay, then let's develop here. But it turns out God didn't put enough oil here to sustain the appetite the United States has for oil. So if we remain dependent on oil, we're going to be dependent on sources overseas from areas of the world that are very volatile. And in some ways, we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot by sending money overseas that is then used against us in a variety of ways, including terrorism. So it's oil is the problem. The president, when he said we're addicted to oil, he didn't say we're addicted to foreign oil. He said we're addicted to oil, and he was right. Oil is the problem. It's a geopolitical problem, and it's an environmental problem, and it could cause a climate catastrophe if we don't get away from it. So we've got to find a better way. It's our weakness. It is our weakness that we have only 3% of the world's oil reserves. Our strength is in technological innovation. We are the technological leader of the world. There is no reason on earth that we're using the same technology in our automobiles that for the last 50 years. We can move to a way of moving people around, driving automobiles that don't rely on oil in the tanks. And we need to do so immediately. We're actually having a debate on the Senate floor today here in Washington, D.C., about clean energy. They want to extend tax credits for incentives to move to clean energy. But they would only extend them for a single year, and even that is not going to pass today because to pay for it, the proposal is to move money from the oil industry that most people would say has plenty of incentives to drill as it is, and move some of it into solar and wind and geothermal and biomass. But we're only going to do it for a year. So yeah. We have hardly begun to think about the commitment that the United States has to make to move to a clean energy economy. We're very timid about it, and we need new leadership that understands that the answer is not to continue to try to scratch out a day's worth or a week's worth of more of oil from pristine areas of this country, but instead to move to solar, to wind, to plug-in hybrids, to alternative fuel vehicles, and we need to get started.
We will continue our discussion about oil production here at home, the politics and policy implications of the calls this week from John McCain and President Bush for more domestic oil production and lifting the ban on offshore oil drilling in this country, talking with a guest who says we should not do this, and we will welcome more of your calls and thoughts on this issue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 6:36. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, June the 19th. Yesterday, President Bush called on Congress to allow more domestic oil production in the U.S. by allowing the exploration of oil in Alaska and by lifting the moratorium on drilling for oil off the U.S. coastline. The issue is already being debated on the campaign trail. John McCain earlier this week changed his position on the offshore moratorium, and Barack Obama reacted.
The biggest problem with John McCain's position is that it seems like a classic Washington political solution, which is to go out there and make a statement without any clear evidence that this would result in strengthening the U.S. economy or providing relief to consumers.
Barack Obama and other Democrats oppose lifting the ban on offshore drilling because they say it wouldn't reduce gas prices, in the short term. And they also say the oil company should use the permits that they already have for oil drilling domestically and not mess around with offshore sites or ANWR. We wonder what you say, what questions you have. We heard from a supporter of more domestic oil production earlier this week, and today an opponent, David Moulton, Director of Climate Change and Conservation Funding for the Wilderness Society. I'm wondering, David Moulton, before we go back to the phones, how you see this playing out politically. Is there enough frustration, do you think, over high gas prices in this country that we, the people, might pressure Congress enough to allow this oil exploration here at home?
Well, I hope not, because people are going to be sorely disappointed if they think they're going to see their gas prices lowered by this marginal activity, relatively speaking. People have to understand that 85% of all the oil and gas reserves in the United States are already open through leasing to the oil and gas industry, that they then there are some 40 million acres already leased, and that nearly 70% of that is not yet being drilled. So the industry has lots and lots of access. In fact, they have more of it than they know what to do with. The problem isn't access, it's excess at this point. If drilling could solve this problem, it would have been solved by now. We've been drilling very hard, as I said earlier, for the last 8 years, under a president who promised the industry that he was going to take us in a direction that they would be pleased with when he became president, and he's done so.
Let's go back.
It has not led to a decrease in prices. It's led to an increase in prices. And so we're likely to get more of the same if we keep going in the same direction.
Jim in Elkhorn, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think your guest draws an awful lot of sketchy lines. I happen to be, like a lot of us out here, a 50-year-old who, you know, grew up understanding the environment. I do believe that we need to work towards more energy self-sufficiency and independence, but at the same time, it just rackles me when I get people like your guest who talk about protecting public land. Keep in mind that I'm part of the public, so if it feels like we... Yeah, if it makes economic sense to use portions, small portions of this public land to lower my gas prices, I'm for that. At the same time, one of these political parties is going to have the sense to go forward with a more comprehensive energy policy. We get all wound up about putting a Land Rover on Mars, which I don't really give a rip about, when I would like to see that money that's used for space exploration put in towards energy independence and self-sufficiency. And it just, you know, talk about nibbling at the margins and the edges when you're paying $60 to fill up your Subaru like I just did. I don't really call it nibbling at the edges. I don't think gas prices are going to go down immediately, but it's a market-driven thing. And just the fact that these companies may be able to get more efficient drilling done, either on offshore or in ANWR, makes sense to me. So I think we should do it and at the same time work towards energy independence. And, you know, if your guest is in his kind of organizations are going to keep fighting that, I think they're going to be in for a losing battle, because the consumer, we're all rather silly. At the same time, we're all talking about being green. We're buying more and more SUVs until gas prices got too high. You can't mandate consumer behavior by government intervention.
David Moulton?
I think he sounds like he believes that oil prices are going to come down if we open up the Arctic refuge to oil drilling. And he can have that hope, but if you just look at the way things have been going, we don't have enough oil in this country to significantly get away from the international oil markets. The international oil markets right now are controlled by OPEC. There's enormous speculation leading to this increase in prices.
that we have had no control over. It's the markets at work. And so
I'm wondering, though, David Moulton, I've heard speculation that the speculators in OPEC would change their tune if this oil drilling and exploration was happening here.
It is happening. See, this is not something we haven't tried. We've been trying it for 8 years. The people have somehow have gotten the impression, because the president tells them this, that we haven't tried drilling in this country. We should try it. In fact, that's all we've been doing for the last 8 years. That's why we've leased 44 million public acres. That's why they have all these leases, although many of them they have yet to exercise. We've been trying to dig this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And no surprise, it just keeps getting deeper. So the people are going to... in the end, for us to get away from higher oil prices, we're going to have to find substitutes for oil, and we're going to have to move to electric vehicles and alternative fuel vehicles. And the sooner we do that, the better. But the resources we're now putting into tax credits to oil companies that get $150 when oil is selling for $150 a barrel are a waste of money that could be used to move this country in a new direction. And that's what the Wilderness Society is calling for, because in the end, that will get us to a place where people are not dependent on oil. The price of oil won't matter to people, and we'll be able to actually save the climate.
Yeah, Sean in Burlington is with us now. Hi, Sean.
Hi. The guest kind of made my point about the drilling, all the drilling we've been doing. And I guess part of my point is that to use the term ban on drilling is to use the language that has been selected by the oil company cartel in the United States that's controlling production. They have not only lots of places to drill, and they are drilling, they have wells that are capped with proven reserves that they're not tapping into. And they're driving the price up along with the fact that a disastrous fiscal policy and foreign debt has cut the value of the dollar, and that's really why these prices are going up. And so you're using the wrong language when you say ban on drilling. What the oil companies are actually after is lifting the moratorium on letting more leases that will allow them to hold more potential future reserves that they won't drill, but that will drive their price of their stock up, because they'll be able to claim that they have more potential future profit in the pipeline.
Yeah, it's hard to say that in a headline, but I take your point. But they're talking about lifting the ban or lifting the moratorium, and that's why I'm using that language. All of AP and others are too. David Moulton?
Yeah, well, the caller is correct. The language gives you the impression that they have no access to these public lands, when in fact it's been 85% of all the reserves are already accessible through leasing, and it's a little hard for me. I'm not an oil economist to explain why you would pay for a lease and then not produce it. But people do. But there are oil economists that say that they buy these leases in order to increase their holding of reserves for purposes of capitalizing projects, and so they sit on them for years and years and years. So one of the bills that is currently being proposed in Congress would put a penalty on, or not a penalty, but would give you an incentive to, if you get a lease from the public to go drill for oil, then you got to go drill it. It's what we do with coal on public lands. There's sort of a due diligence requirement, which right now doesn't apply to the oil industry, so they take advantage of it.
We're going to check our weather forecast and then continue talking with David Moulton, Director of Climate Change Policy and Conservation Funding for the Wilderness Society, giving us his take on the calls this week by both President Bush and presidential candidate John McCain to lift the moratorium on offshore oil drilling in this country, said in a few words. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you think? We'll talk a little bit about a poll that is out that says that 60% of us say, yes, let's have more domestic oil production. And wonder what our guest says about that after the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, June the 19th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk presidential campaign politics and talk about the results of a new poll on Wisconsin voters and what we think about the issues and candidates coming up after 7 o'clock. Speaking of polls, it says here that there is a new Reuters Zogby poll out that says that 60% of Americans that were surveyed said they would favor government efforts to boost domestic drilling and refinery construction to try to do something about high gas prices. I'm wondering, David Moulton, what you think about that. Most Americans apparently support more U.S. oil drilling.
Again, that's because they have been told by the president that it's going to reduce their gasoline prices, and people want to see their gasoline prices mm-hmm. reduced. So if that's what the president says we need to do, then the tendency is to say, okay, let's try it. The problem, but as I said before, we've been trying this one ever since the president took office. In fact, we've been trying it for a lot longer than that. We haven't moved yet to a clean energy economy. We're like an aircraft carrier sort of headed in one direction, and we have hardly begun to turn around into a new direction. As I mentioned before, this Congress is now arguing about a one-year extension of incentives to go to solar, wind, and alternative fuels. If you're a business, you can't make a business plan based on a one-year extension of a tax credit. The oil industry doesn't worry about that. The oil industry has tax credits that are permanent. The president puts them in place, and then he fights like hell to make sure they aren't tampered with. We've been trying to steer some money from the oil industry into the solar and renewables industry in this Congress for the last 2 years, and it's proving to be very, very difficult because the president opposes it. So we do need to move to a new future. We know how to do it, but we're not going to get there by continually looking in a rearview mirror and looking for our solutions by drilling for oil that isn't there. And when you find it, it's very expensive, and it goes into a world oil market that in the end doesn't mm-hmm. reduce your gasoline prices.
Let's go back to the phones. Tom and Mequon is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Morning, Joy and guests. I'd like to say this. I think that we do need to drill, but I think there should be a caveat on that. I think that if we open up Anwar, that'll be like a balloon that's had a pin put in it, and it's going to blow out this overpriced oil on the world market. At least I think it'll help do that. But I think that oil should be designated for this country only. And also that instead of going on the world market, that oil from the from Alaska or off our coast, that it should be priced at what it actually costs to take it out of the ground and process it and use it in this country, and it should not be sold to any other country. And I think that we should become more oil independent and off of this world system, because with the value of the dollar dropping, we just cannot compete anymore. And the working people in this world are in this country. If things stay the way they are, it's going to go into a depression, I think.
David Moulton.
I wish it were so, but the world oil markets are barely going to blink should we decide to start drilling in our wildlife refuges. We're going to get we're going to permanently despoil land that is very special that we save for future generations for literally a few months' worth of oil. we're not going to reduce oil prices that way. I agree with the caller that there appears to be an enormous amount of speculation in the current price of oil, and people are hoping that this bubble gets popped somehow, but it's not going to get popped by saying we're going to drill in an Arctic refuge that will produce a few months' worth of oil 10 years from now.
Yeah. Let me get your reaction to another story in the news this morning, a reaction from the different states who have coastlines. Coastal state governors have widely different reactions to President Bush's call to lift the ban on offshore drilling. The governors of California, New Jersey, and North Carolina are dead against it. California's Arnold Schwarzenegger says the energy crisis is due to dependence on oil. New Jersey Governor John Corzine says his state's $35 billion economy is driven by tourism and use of the shore, so he says no way. The reaction of Florida Governor Charlie Crist is more nuanced. He's against offshore drilling, or was against offshore drilling, but now he says he supports lifting the ban as long as states have local control. Virginia and South Carolina largely support lifting the moratorium, as do governors in Mississippi and Alaska. South Carolina's governor says that states should be able to control their own destiny. So what about that argument? States should be able to control their own destiny.
Well, as you can see, it's not clear that it would change things much. We already drill for oil off the coasts of Mississippi and Louisiana, whereas most of the states that are not oil-producing states that you mentioned believe they have a bigger stake in keeping their coasts available for tourism without the threat of of oil production. Mr. Crist, Governor Crist, has moved to this new position. Governor Bush before him was dead set against drilling off of Florida's coast. So you could move to a state authority model, but I don't think it's going to change the politics of this much. The people understand this balance of conservation versus production as they apply it in their own states, and it's not going to change just because you give them the free choice to make.
Yeah. Brandon and Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to comment that I do support Obama, but I have to agree with McCain on this issue, because a lot of analysts I'm hearing are saying that there's just as much oil in Alaska as there is in the Arabian worlds. And if that's true, I mean, we could utilize, we could be way more self-sufficient and not be dependent on importing, you know, and I think that would be a great move for the economy. So I don't see why. I really think we should explore these options instead of opposing, be so quick to oppose them.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon. And we just heard him say that Alaska has a lot of oil. We also hear that these Western states have a gazillion gallons of oil under barrels of oil underneath their land. What can you say, though, that it's just a drop in the bucket?
Well, it's a drop in the bucket in terms of the amount of oil we consume. We have 3% of the world's oil reserves. We consume 25% of the world's oil every day here in the United States. So, you can see that this is a dead end. To continue to try to find more and more oil in a country where God just didn't put it. Now, these notions that there's essentially a Saudi Arabian oil field under the United States just ready to be tapped are wrong. The oil industry knows where this oil is. They have access to it, generally speaking. They go develop it where it's economic, And many of these oil companies, as you know, are international oil companies, and they have cheaper ways of getting it out of the ground in other areas of the world, and that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
David Moulton, the Director of Climate Change Policy and Conservation Funding for the Wilderness Society, giving us a different perspective on the talk about more domestic oil production and drilling in that's going on this week. President Bush and John McCain both calling this week for more oil drilling in Alaska and along the nation's shoreline. And we heard from a guest who supported this earlier in the week. Today's guest opposed it. We thank both of them. And we thank Rob Ferret for producing this hour, Karen Prager and Cynthia Schuster for their production help as well. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.